try that.
Hello? Yes? Yeah. Some, anyway, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Wow. Well, Bob couldn't have introduced the message any better or clearer than today. The title for the message is "My Sheep Hear My Voice." That's what this is going to be the message about. Yes.
You need to be prayed over.
I what?
Nobody's prayed over you.
No.
Well, then Julie, we're just talking about how much we need to pray.
Yes. We forget to pray over you. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you give Malcolm the words that he needs, that you want him to speak, and that we all hear. That we don't zone out, but that we pay attention,
yes,
and that we listen to his word through you.
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Really, the diet of God's presence, what we've been eating on so far, oh my God. I don't know, I'm sure that you must have sensed what many people have already said. Lots of times, the Lord being in our presence and us being in his presence isn't some fancy, flowery, big, gigantic display. It really is in the humbleness of the people that are desperate for God. Right? Desperate. You know, people, you don't get to know someone unless you talk to them, right?
Yeah.
And there's funny little things as you grow to learn the voice of someone. I think it was Vicky I was talking to on the phone this week, and we were talking about how we can recognize our voices. You know, now if I was a complete stranger, if I only had called her once in the last 3 or 4 years, she might not. You know, I think I know that voice, but I can't quite get it. But the more that you speak with the Lord, the more that you're on your knees, and I'm on my knees before the Lord, there is a sense that comes as time goes by where you recognize the voice of the Lord. Isn't that right? And there's nobody in here that has that perfect yet either. And I want to talk about that as well. I'm going to talk about some negative kind of things and then wind it up with the positive. Okay? So, I'm going to start with this little story. Kathy and I have this little thing where she's in one room and I'm in another, and I'll walk by the doorway where she is, and I'll just go, Kathy. Not her full name, I just say Kathy. Only I try to do it as softly as I can, because I want to see if she heard me. And I am always amazed, no matter how softly I do it. She goes, "Call." She's saying the last part of Malcolm. She goes, "Call." I say, "Tap." She says, "Call." And this is so funny. And I always laugh. I'm always amazed that she can hear me. Because sometimes, you know, instead of like looking at it, and she'll be doing something, I'll say that, and she doesn't even break a sweat. What's going on?
You just got
She doesn't even break a sweat. She's doing something on the computer, and her head's down, and I walk by, and I say, "Cat." And she goes, "Call." doesn't break a stride in what she's doing. She's reacting. You know, it's like there's an in-tuneness that happens as you get to know someone and you recognize their voice. Now, if somebody had walked into our house and knew that we did this, and they tried to do the same thing. They listened to how I said it. They watched how things went. Somebody could probably fool her in thinking, "Oh, that's Malcolm going by." And without her looking up, she would just go home, right? She would accept that it was me and all this. Now, I'm saying this because I'm going to draw this illustration into something I want to get to here in a minute. But his voice, and it spoke a lot today.
Yes.
Didn't it?
Yes.
Didn't his voice speak to our hearts and your worship? In the things that so many people said. I wanted to get up and Chuck said almost exactly what I was going to say. There was all kinds of things where the Lord's voice was speaking to us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you want to, you don't have to turn, but it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. And Matthew 11, 15 says, "He who has ears, let him hear."
Yes.
Now remember, the title of this message is, "My sheep hear my voice." All right? So, if we have ears, let's hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Jesus, even in saying that, is saying that we have ability. Use it. Right? Develop it. You know, last week the message was about God is our provider. Right? He provides. And He provides everything for us. It's there. It's a provision. And we need to take a hold of it, right? Well, one thing that He provided for us was when He went back up into heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is inside every single believer.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And Jesus told us that when the Comforter comes, He will teach you all things. That means He's speaking to us. Right? And it's our job to be listening.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. His voice. And this is what happened a lot to many of us this morning. His voice renews us.
Yes. Yes.
It gives us hope in bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It gives us an energy where we might have been worn down, and His voice speaking to us gives us a shockwave of the Spirit.
Yes.
And the energy of God and the hope and the strength, the vitality of being a child of God. That's what happens to us. That's what happened to us here this morning with the worship and everything else that's transpired. I loved that Vicky got up and came up in front of us. I got a testimony. It's one thing when people feel moved upon and they get up and they speak. And yes, it was Vicky's voice. But it was the voice of Jesus.
Yes.
In back of it. I don't know if you felt that, but I did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I felt the same thing when Chuck was speaking.
Yo, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I felt that that God was speaking through, and others too that have spoken already. Gosh, there are lots of things Reggie said. You know, God is speaking to us. And his sheep hear his voice. And I really do believe, whether we understand it or realize it or not, we're hearing.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
We're hearing what God wants us to do. And he reveals things to us through the circumstances of things. You know, the big thing that... I'm going to go down through a list here of if Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear, that means that there's things that can happen that where we don't hear.
Right, that's right.
Why aren't we hearing? Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about what those things are that get in the way. Because, you know, I think every single person in here has heard the voice of God. Right? And he speaks in different ways, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He speaks with a still small voice. Sometimes you feel so moved to do something, like Bob was saying. You know, he said he heard his voice and he didn't have any choice. He had to do what he did. Right? Yeah, well.
I don't know if you remember, Bob. Do you remember speaking to Malcolm and me a few years ago, and you said, I don't think I hear God's voice.
Well,
you said that.
Yeah.
And look at this.
I really got on Malcolm's case about it, because he's saying, God told him this, God told him that, God told him that. And I get ready to state and say, you know,
yes,
I don't understand. God usually doesn't speak English. And he says, well, there is a little voice inside you, and you have to listen to it. And I says, there's a lot of voices inside of me. I mean, before you open your mouth, you have to listen. Is it God? Is it Satan?
Yes.
Is it circumstance? Or is it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Now, open your mouth.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mention
that.
Yes.
I knew that was. That was not the others.
Yeah. You knew. We're going to get all right to these very things that you're saying, because you know God speaks. So one of the problems is that we don't always recognize God's voice. And we're going to get to some of those reasons why. But sometimes we expect to hear God in a certain way, and that isn't how he's going to be speaking to you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he speaks with a still small voice. Sometimes he speaks through the scriptures to you.
Yeah.
And if we're not reading the scriptures, we're not getting the dose of God's message to us, because the scripture is what frames our life.
Yes.
Right?
Here, let me just. In case you didn't see that in the bulletin, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Kathy took this. So, you know, this is just coincidence, I guess. Every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person that's dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work.
Malcolm, this verse has been coming up over and over.
Over and over again. I used it last week, I think.
I've just been seeing it in my life, and it just said, you know, God is speaking.
So, that's something, isn't it? Let me just... And then if you, since I got the bulletin right here, any of you that have it, Kathy also put in this quote from Peter Marshall. And it says this, the Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good and the best book for regulating the concerns of men. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. What a quote. And boy, doesn't that go with what Reggie had up there for that movie and what Reggie was saying earlier. This all ties together. Our repentance, and I said that the other week, it starts with us.
Yes, it does.
You know, we're repenting for the country, but really, we need to repent ourselves.
Yes.
Right? You remember me saying that?
No.
And I think that's very, very important.
Just to go with that, I was just listening to somebody, and he was talking about, history and stuff, and he was saying that the number one textbook in our schools back in the revolutionary time was the Bible.
Right, yeah.
The number one textbook.
Yep. Yep.
And the number one reason that they had started public education was so that everybody would be able to read the Bible themselves. That was the purpose of reading, was so they know what was in the good book.
Yes.
Right. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that was the foundation of our nation.
That's right.
Well, the first university in this country was to train
ministers. That's right, Harvard. And Yale. You know? Look what's happened. Right? So, yeah, go ahead.
Peter Marshall. Was his father a justice on the Supreme Court?
No. No. Different Marshall. Okay. All right. Now, would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Now, Bob was saying how there's all kinds of other voices that you can hear in your head.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You got your own voice. You have what people have told you, and it spins around in your head for a while. And people give you advice, and people say this or they say that, and it's about the way you should live, or what decision you should make, or maybe it's about politics, or maybe it's about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these voices mm-hmm. in your head,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Other than God, what God is saying, and that causes the confusion, doesn't it? That causes confusion. Look at the flood of lies that are in the world today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus is talking about here as we read this. He says in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one deceives you.'" Misleads you. Oh my goodness gracious, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And verse 24, if you go to verse 24, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So any one of us who have been called by God to walk with Him and be His child and be His ambassador in this life. Any one of us, if we're not careful, if we don't have ears to hear only His voice and recognize His voice, we could end up being very confused. We could be end up being very misled.
Yep.
Right? Now, every single one of us, there's temporary confusion because we are who we are and we hear things. And we go, wow, you know, I got to weigh that out. Now, but here's this other thing, and now I got to weigh that out. And here's another thing. I got to weigh. And so there's that temporary confusion because you're trying to sort through where's the voice of God in this? What is the truth? Because God's always going to speak truth,
yes.
Isn't he?
Yes.
And so where is it? Right? Where is it? And so there's a temporary thing. And that keeps us on our face to really know, is this God speaking or is it not? Sometimes it takes a long time there to come to the resolution of truth. And sometimes it doesn't. Because God also speaks through circumstances to us. Right?
Yes.
Through events. And sometimes we go, oh, I see, God didn't want me to do that. Or, oh, thank you, God, this was the right decision for me to make.
That's right.
Right? So he speaks through events, through circumstances. Sometimes he has to speak through a particular kind of circumstance called consequences.
That's right.
And we end up learning the voice of God through consequences to things that we do. Right?
Yeah.
And God doesn't sit there and judge us and hate us and get so upset with us. We're in a process of learning his voice more and more. It isn't that we either do hear his voice or don't. We're learning to hear his voice. When Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, little sheep that we are, following, you know, if Jesus is over there, and I'm following Jesus, being a little sheep, oh, I see something, but I'm still, you know, and then get back on track. Right? It isn't that we do it perfectly. It isn't that we always hear every single moment. But that is our goal, isn't it? And I think that's what God wants us to hear today, is that keep our ears open to his voice. Be able to recognize what is his voice. And when other things and other voices get in the way that can deceive us, that can trick us, then we want to be able to work our way through that, right? All of you, me too. I know if I'm hearing from God or not, or I'm not hearing from God when I'm confused about something. Yeah. Oh, then I'm listening to a bunch of what is the right thing for me to do? Well, that means I gotta put my nose to the grindstone and fall before God and say, hey, I need some clarity here. Could you show me something? Or God's always come through. I don't know. Is that right? Is that true for you guys? God always comes through.
Yeah.
If we ask, right? There's something here in this little section. I guess I got to it.
Sometimes you got to step in that right direction. Sometimes you don't hear the voice, I think, but you got to move in the direction that...
Yeah, you start to move, and then God can redirect.
Yeah.
You know, that's important.
You know, this morning I was reading the Daily Bread, and it was quite interesting because of the fact that God had come down and talked to Solomon when he was a young man and told him, you can have anything you want,
yes,
and I will make it come true. And all he asked for was discernment. And I mean, to me, that hit me really hard because he could have gotten gold, silver, whatever he wanted. But that's all he asked for, and God gave it to him.
That's right.
And that's what we need to do. To keep our eyes on what we want is really to hear God and talk to
him. Yeah. Yeah. Make a good choice.
Yeah.
You know, make that right good choice.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, and it was said before here this morning, the thing that's going to be the most important for us are the decisions and what we're hearing, does it line up with Scripture?
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, you know as well as I do that there are slick people out there who can use Scripture and not use it correctly.
Right?
And so when we talk about following Scripture, we're talking about the whole counsel of Scripture.
Right.
You can't. I wrote a piece in the newspaper, an editorial, talking about truth.
Yes. That's good.
Part of the truth. People will use part of the Scripture, part of the truth, and build up something around that partial thing. But other parts of the Word of God modify what they're saying. You understand? So when we talk about using the Scripture, we're talking about looking at the Scripture and not just cherry-picking particular Scriptures that follow our way of thinking. Okay? But that we are truly, truly seeking truth. We're not looking for Scripture that's going to back up our position as much as I want to know the truth. Because the Lord is truth. And if we're seeking God, then that's what we're going to do. Aren't we? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to make sure that I got to that.
And you're not going to deceive God by doing that. So you can do that. You justify it to yourself, but that doesn't change.
That doesn't change anyone. Right. Right. Yeah. You can convince yourself that you're seeking what, but you only want truth, but you're really looking for something that's going to benefit you. All right. So we're going to go to another point. All right. So we have that not recognizing his voice all the time, right? And that the confusion that can come with many voices and all of that. The second thing is, in all of these many voices, there are things that are said that end up deceiving us, right? So deception can be something that keeps us from hearing what God is saying and recognizing that it's Him, right? We can get deceived with lots of input and lies that are very well put together to be so convincing. So very convincing. Why do you think Jesus said it the way He did? That it would even deceive the very elect?
Yeah.
I mean, that got to be pretty potent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we have to be careful. And in that, in the whole thing of pursuit of truth and knowing what truth between a lie, besides the fact that you need the whole truth, you and I have to take time to weigh the things out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Don't just accept something because you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just accept something because I say it here or somebody else says it. Reggie, Steve, anybody that's presenting something and it's new to you, it better either witness to your spirit or you go and you check it out.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
We don't want anybody just... we're not trying to develop some kind of cult here.
The Bible says even if it appears to be a miracle,
right?
Check it out.
Even if it looks like it's a miracle, because anytime there's a miracle, that's got to be God. Well, Satan is a counterfeiter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He makes himself appear as an angel of light.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He can mimic God to a point. Mm-hmm. Mimic. Not be, right? So it's important for us. We're coming into the end of an age here. You know how serious this is going to be? I want to tell you something. It's not getting any better. The deception isn't just going to go away. All the flood of lies is not going away. And so we've got to say to ourselves, instead of, I wish things were the way they used to be. They're not going to be. Because we're at a time where God is going to wrap up this age, and Satan and all his minions in the governments of the world, in false churches around the world, they are doubling down to grab a hold and do whatever they can to keep their power. You understand this? It's not going to go away. So what does that mean for us? Here we are in a period of great deception and lies, and we know it's there upon us. I mean, there's times where you just feel like, where the heck is the truth in all of this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you and I have ears to hear, and we hear the voice of God, and we follow Him, we're going to know what is true. Didn't Jesus say that?
Yep.
You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right?
Yes. This is why this is important for us in the process that we're in right now, that we are giving ourselves over to hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
His sheep hear His voice, mm-hmm. and He knows us, and we follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Important.
Yes.
Important for every single one of us. And you might say, well, I got it. I hear God. Do we hear God continually every time He speaks, and we know exactly every moment of the day, every day? No, we don't. No. And any one of those times can be something that could take us out. If we're not sure. That's why it's important to listen to one another, especially to pay attention to the Word, the whole counsel, the harmony of the Scriptures. Right?
Yes.
Or you and I can, we can deceive ourselves. Can't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get to that in a little bit. Okay. John. This is gonna be an interesting one. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. John 16. What? 12 and 13. Yeah. I had to get my little thing out here. Okay? All right. This is what it says. I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He won't speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will disclose to you what is to come. Okay? So He's going to help us through in the present, in the future. He's going to help us, right?
Yes.
But you notice the little principle here. Sometimes we can't bear what He would like to tell us right now. We can't carry that. That's what the word means. To carry. To endure. It's like, you ever said, I just can't take this anymore. I just can't take it. Have you said that?
Yes.
Have you said that either to yourself or to somebody else?
Yes.
I just can't take this. This is what Jesus is talking about. We can't handle, we can't take, we can't bear, carry the things that He wants to tell us. And so you know what happens? Sometimes He doesn't tell us. It's not the right time for us. Sometimes we want answers to things that we're not ready for. And so we're wondering, why isn't God speaking to me? It could be that we're not ready for something. Do you get that? Sometimes we're just not ready. And God will speak it to us. Maybe He, I don't know how He does it, but you know, He speaks something and it goes right over our heads. We don't even know. We don't even know when God spoke to us sometimes. It just goes right over our heads. Because we don't know, we wouldn't know how to handle it. Oh, that can't be God telling me to do such and such, right? Some of the big reasons are it goes against our desires. We don't want to hear certain things. We can't hear certain things because it goes against what we really want to do in life. Because you and I as Christians, we can have all the flowery words how we would do anything for Jesus and all of that, and then something comes along and when push gets to shove, we can't let that go. I'm talking to the right group of people here, aren't I? Yeah, sometimes we're not emotionally ready for something. Sometimes we don't have enough scriptural knowledge, maybe, or understanding of someone else's condition, where God isn't going to speak to us because we're just not ready to hear certain things, right? So that sometimes gets into the thing about having ears to hear, then let us hear. Sometimes we're not ready for it. We're just not ready for it. It's not the right time. God withholds some things sometimes with us. We're just not ready. Okay. Let's go to the fourth one. Would you turn? There's two scriptures that follow through on this thing. So I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter 25 first. Proverbs 25. We're jumping through a few scriptural hoops here. I hope that's okay with all of you. Okay? And then we're going to be back up in Matthew again. So Proverbs 25:2 says this: "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter." Somebody read the next part.
The glory of kings is to search out.
It's the glory of kings to search it out, right? Sometimes we don't hear from God because we don't bother getting on our knees and being more serious about some things. We're not searching something out. Let's put it on. I'll put it in a political thing. We have an election coming up. Do you have you searched out enough that you know with certainty who you're going to vote for? And you've done this because you've looked at that. You've looked at the evidence of things. You know the platforms of the different candidates. If you're voting Republican or Democrat just because that's the party, something's wrong. Something is wrong. We've said all along that you need to know the policies of the different candidates and see how well it flows with what the scripture teaches. Right?
Yes.
Well, if you don't know what the policies are, if you haven't searched that out, how can you make a really good decision? Right? How are you going to really hear what you need to hear? You need to hear what's going on, right?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. because I think this is kind of an interesting thing too.
Malcolm, as far as that goes too, you need to know even beyond just a platform. You need to understand history. You got to understand where things came from and,
yes,
where they're going and why history is so important to know what we're trying to avoid in the future.
Yes. You know? For example,
yes,
socialism.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
The history behind socialism. That seems to be a real big, wonderful thing that a certain group of Americans are talking about. If you know the history of socialism, you would go, I don't want to have anything to do with that.
That's right.
But if you don't know what I'm talking about, see, and I can say this, and some of you that have searched it out will say, yeah, you're right. But others that haven't, wonder why he's saying that.
Let's try it.
Let's try it. Mm-hmm. You know? The history is proof enough.
Yep.
So if you don't know, you need to. And if you have searched it out and you think that's a great idea, I don't know what to say to you. All right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Because this is this idea of searching something out, right? And 7, verse 7, Matthew 7:7, it says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now the progression of this is really important. Okay? This is really important to see. I'm going to put it in a different kind of terms. Alright? If I ask Steve where his sister lives in, is it British Columbia? In British Columbia. Okay? And he says, she lives at such and such a place. Alright? And I want to go visit his family, right? Oh, that's there. And he gives me the address, he gives me all the information I need. Is that gonna do it for me? No. You know what I gotta do? I got the address, but I don't know how to get there. What roads do I take to get there? I got an address. How am I gonna get there? So I gotta seek that out. I gotta look at maps, or I gotta, well, not these days, right?
Google
put it in GPS. And there's gonna be a route. Okay, well, all right, now, but I had to go a step beyond just asking. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes Christians think all I gotta do is ask. Well, you need to ask. But we also need to seek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're gonna find a place. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So now I get to I can't remember.
Cynthia,
yeah. So I get to Cynthia's place. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there in the car and I'm looking up at the house. Geez, it's so good to get here finally. I really like to talk with Steve's family. What do I got to do? I got to get out of the car and I got to go up to the door and do what? Knock on the door. I've got to ask.
Yep.
I've got to know the directions. I've got to seek that out. And when I get there, I've got to knock at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a progression, there's a progress, there's a particular method that's important for us. If we're, because every one of those steps, it takes a here and here. Doesn't it? Because if I can't find it in some directional book, I go, well, now what am I going to do? Well, I'm asking questions. God, help me to find where I can find out where this person is. Right? So there's a constant communication going on between you and God, between me and God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So this whole process is developing that deeper relationship that we need so that God certainly knows my voice and I get to understand His voice through the process of all of that much better. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I don't got too much further to go here. Okay. So, let me see if I got it. Oh, I was going to put that someplace else. But this is a good spot for it. Okay. So, I wrote down here with this whole thing about seeking and all of that. Well, what? Don't we just do that all the time? Something happens and we just seek God and we just seek God all the time with all the different things that are going on in our life. No, we don't do that.
No.
You know what happened? You know why? I wrote down here. We're too busy.
Get distracted.
The cares of the world interfere. Right? And it knocks us off our game with God.
Yep.
And you know the enemy's behind a lot of this too. He uses the good things that we have to do. We have jobs, we have home responsibilities, other kinds of family responsibilities, and the enemy will try to find a way to knock us off our game and get us out of the habit of going right to God right away.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's 2 or 3 days later you go, oh man. What? Where am I?
Yeah.
Right? So, too busy. You know another thing that can happen? Too lazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
We can be too lazy. And right with that is the concept of having the wrong kind of priorities. The other day, I'm doing some college. I'm correcting papers at my computer, and the thought came into my head, Malcolm, you need to get on your knees and pray. I think it was for Michael Carzon, and I didn't. But God, I got to get this done. Was my first thought. On someone that, I mean, I've grown to love those Carzonos.
Yeah.
And you'd think I would have just jumped right up there. But I didn't. What a rat. but it only took me a number of seconds. And I went, what the heck am I doing? What's my priority here? Getting these tests corrected or doing what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
So then I got down on my knees and I prayed, and then I got caught up in the prayer and I didn't even give a darn about the test. But that's what happens to us, right?
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
And we can have wrong priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I want to watch the Pats play, and God is wanting me to do something else. That's a hard one, right? Well, it shouldn't be, should it? All right. Would you turn now into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13? I'm only going to read the first part of it. And then we're going to look at something in Ephesians. 13, I haven't said yet.
I'm ready.
You ready? See, this is what I do this once in a while because I want to see if somebody's going to say, well, come on, where are we going to go? You know? That's good. I like that. You know? Be aggressive.
You're not ready, Gary.
Verse. Yeah, you're not ready yet. All right. verse 15. Verse 15. And it says this. I'm only going to read the first part. For the heart of this people has become dull. Another translation is fat, heavy, unresponsive,
calloused,
dull. Okay? With their ears, they scarcely hear. And then he goes on and describes. Okay? So, this is one of the things. We get a fat heart. A fat heart. Okay? I think it's explained very well in this correlating verse that I'm going to go to right now. And that is Ephesians. If I can find it. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. Because what this is really getting to is the fact that we have covered over our heart. It's gotten dull and heavy because we have other priorities. All right, listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 17. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. For this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you don't walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from or alienated from the life of God. And here's the reason. Because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the hardness of their heart. Yeah. They...
That's big stuff.
Yeah. They, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, yes, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness.
Yes. Oh my. Today.
But you didn't learn Christ like this. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So we find here that what's being talked about is that there is an ignorance to the mind of God, the heart of God, and things. There's we don't, you know, that ignorance means it's something we should know, but we don't know. It's not that we're stupid. It's just that we haven't bothered to find certain things out. We haven't made Jesus the real priority of our life. We have other things that mean more to us. That's what this is talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, go ahead, Julie.
I have, of course, one of my little side notes is right with what you're saying. Ephesians 4:17-19 says that unbelievers can be so callous and hard that they are past feeling. But the same verse says they live by their feelings in unbridled sensuality and carnality. As I mentioned on what appears to be a paradox here, the Lord shows that such people are past doing what they should be doing with their feelings. God gives people feelings for specific purpose and use in their walk with Him.
Yes.
But people who have alienated themselves from God are hardened to the place where they are beyond using their feelings for the right purpose. Satan moves them into an area where they live riotous lives, doing whatever they are feel like doing. What is the world's philosophy today? If it is feel good, do it. You and I are not to live that way, but to make the truth of God's word our standard and to obey it by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right. And notice, though, this is addressed to the church.
Yes, right.
And Paul's just making sure, hey, look, this is how you used to act. Don't keep up. Don't continue in any of these things, right? And he goes on in verse... verse, where am I?
23.
22? that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That those are big things. Yeah. And I think it was Reggie that said that, you know, if we're going to have more power in our prayers, we've got to become cleaner people. We've got to live and desire to live a more righteous life. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why you need to read the 23 and down
too. Yes. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Did I go over? No. And then verse 24. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. All right. So we're starting to wind things down here. Last scripture. Well, no. Second to last scripture. All right. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Here's something else that gets in the way, and it kind of goes with one of the other ones. I probably should have put this together with something else, but we're Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 16. You know what? What really gets in the way sometimes is we're self-satisfied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We think we have enough of God.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't need this word. I love God. All of that's true, but let's just read what it says. So it says here in verse 16, "So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." He's talking to the church.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, Jesus would never say that. Here it is right there. He did say it. It's recorded, right?
Yes.
Because you say, "I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing." Don't you know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I advise you to buy gold from me, gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And it goes on with some other beautiful words. But you know, if we're self-satisfied, we're not really developing a relationship with Christ, are we? We're satisfied. We're satisfied, right the way we are. This is why all of us, and I think this is true about this whole church, we understand we can't just be sitting still in our spirits, right? There's always that goal that God puts out in front of us for us to attain to. So, what gets in our way of hearing? Well, not always recognizing His voice. The deception of many voices and sorting our way through that. And checking out with the scriptures and making sure we really do know. Not being able to bear the truth can get in the way. Not seeking to search out things. Too busy, too lazy, bad priorities. Having a fat heart, alienated by ignorance and lusts. Being lukewarm, self-satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Even a high opinion of ourselves. Right? Okay?
Yep.
So how are we going to hear? Well, it's the opposite of all of those.
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
It's the opposite of all of those.
Right. That's right. Yep.
Plus, there's one other place I want to go to, and this is in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord, and verse 5 too, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord. Yeah. So when the Lord speaks, the more you obey what you're hearing, the easier it is for you to recognize the voice of the Lord the next time. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? And I think that's laid out for us today, knowing that with all of the craziness, the things that we've talked about, with what's going on in the world, what's going on in the family situations, personal, whatever it may be, the thing that gets us out is the voice of God. Through Scripture,
yes.
Through Him speaking to us, through circumstances, the still small voice that guide the Holy Spirit guiding us into the truth of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can relax in that. We can find comfort in that, can't we?
Yes.
So Lord, I just pray that we think on these things, and that we be people that would truly wait on You. And trust You to be able to hear Your voice better and better as these days come upon us. That we would not be tossed about by every wave of doctrine. That we would not lose our peace because of all the violence and things that are happening around us. But Lord, we stand on You, the rock. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.